He was the late night king for 30 years, but very few knew the real Johnny Carson until now. A book, 20 Years in the Making, is out. Carson the Magnificent, the biography started by Chicago-based author Bill Zamy and finished by Chicagoan Mike Thomas of Chicago Magazine and himself the author of books about Second City and Phil Hartman. Mike, good morning. The backstory of this is as fascinating as the Johnny Carson subject matter. Talk about how this book came to be and how you came to the project.
Well, first of all, it's great to be on with you again. It's really a full circle story here. I was once Bill Zamy's research assistant. As you know, back in the day, that's when I met you, in the 90s. And we worked on a few books together about Jay Leno and Andy Kaufman and Frank Sinatra. And then I went on to the Sun-Times for a bunch of years. Bill and I stayed friends for all that time. Not too long after Bill died last March 2023, his editor, who is now the head of Simon & Schuster, Jonathan Karp, got a hold of me and ultimately asked me if I wanted to try to finish Bill's magnum opus, this Johnny Carson book. He knew I'd worked with Bill. He knew I could get access to all of Bill's mountains of Carsonia. And so with the help of Bill's daughter, I was able to get access to all that stuff, and I went from there, spent months organizing, and finally the book is out.
Talk a little bit about Bill Zamy's obsession with Johnny Carson.
Well, I mean, he was obsessed with him from his teen years. He would kind of lock himself in his bedroom, and he got this little TV, black and white TV, for his 15th birthday. He would turn that on, and it was just, he was like privately communing with Johnny Carson. And that fascination only grew as he got to college and, and after college. At one point, in college, he wrote this story for the Loyola newspaper on another one of his heroes, Hugh Hefner, and of course, Bill being Bill, after the story came out, Hef loved it, invited him to the Playmate of the Year bash in Chicago, and Bill made his way out to California to see the mansion. But on his way to the mansion, they also stopped off at the Tonight Show, he and his friend Chris, to see if they could get tickets in Burbank. So, Bill's about 20 years old. He's dropping names of Johnny's producers and trying to pass himself off as a big shot journalist, which he was. And he even had kind of a fake press pass. But he was fascinated with Johnny forever, and he really started to pursue him when he got to Rolling Stone in 1991. It was the last year of Johnny's Tonight Show tenure. And I have a letter Bill wrote to his editor, Bob Wallace, saying, "Hey, Bob, maybe we should start, trying to make inroads. Maybe Johnny will talk a little bit." They were rebuffed, unfortunately, politely, but rebuffed. Bill was able to spend a little time backstage gleaning color, but he wasn't ever able to get a sit-down with Johnny. But he kept at it. Bill played the long game on this, and for the next 10 years, Bill was writing profiles of Letterman and Leno and late-night sidekicks, so he really made his way into that sort of late-night scene, and I'm sure Johnny took notice. Bill would also stop by Johnny's retirement offices in Santa Monica and get to know the staff, and once in a while Johnny would stop by and they would chat a little bit in the hallway, but it wasn't until 2001 where he and Johnny are chatting, and then Johnny suddenly says, "Hey, want to grab some lunch?" And there you go. That was Bill's in. He got to sit down with the king.
You could almost do two books, one the biography and another about Bill and his pursuit of Johnny. He eventually got the only interview Johnny conducted after retiring, right?
He did. Yeah, it was a long lunch at Shotzi on Main, Arnold Schwarzenegger's old restaurant in Santa Monica, and they talked for hours and hours, and Johnny was very open, and Johnny also opened the doors for Bill to talk to other people. At that point, Bill was writing just about Johnny in retirement, so the boundaries were fairly narrow about what he was going to cover in that profile. And Johnny, of course, loved it when it came out, as most of Bill's subjects did. And Johnny sent Bill this beautiful note on embossed stationery that you know, said, thank you very much for your kindness. It was actually written in Swahili at the end, which Johnny had started speaking in the early 90s before a safari to Africa. And the whole note wasn't just that phrase. Yeah. But, of course, Bill had it framed.
Of course. It's a great book. The prologue and the epilogue are as fascinating, which is a credit to you, Mike Thomas.
And thank you.
Hundreds of people were interviewed, all sorts of sources, one very talkative ex-wife, and we learn about the darker aspects of Carson's life as well. Let's get into that momentarily after a break. The book is Carson the Magnificent, the book that our pal, the late, great Bill Zamy, started. Mike Thomas has finished it, 300-plus pages of insights and showbiz stories. Mike, one of the things we learn in the book, Johnny always heeded the advice to just be yourself on TV to be successful.
Right.
But was he? Is that who we saw?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that was part of who Johnny was. Johnny never flashed much of his darker side on TV. It was always the cooler, lighter side. I mean, because that's more enticing and, you know, tangible to the audience, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny also revealed more of himself, it seems, on TV than he did much in real life. I mean, you know, with intimates he would reveal stuff, but on TV you'd get bits of biography and dribs and drabs, and that's a lot of what Bill did for this book, is mined every transcript of just about every Tonight Show for these biographical tidbits that helped him form a fuller portrait of Johnny.
Can you chalk up Carson's famous reputation as a loner and not a very good husband to alcohol?
I don't think it was just alcohol. I mean, that was certainly a big issue, especially, you know, back in the day. He was just not a good drinker, meaning that he didn't have to have a gallon of booze in order to behave badly. It took a couple, three vodkas, and he was, you know, turned from Jekyll to Hyde. And he would admit that. I mean, the behavior oftentimes was very bad, and he always lamented it afterwards, especially with his wives. He would send them flowers and write them, you know, I'm sorry notes, but it was, you know, it was a pretty regular thing back in the day. I think he also had a very emotionally repressed upbringing in Nebraska, you know, and his mother was, this is not an atypical story, it's, you know, emotionally distant, hard to please, and his relationship with her was difficult throughout his entire life. So it was a confluence of things that I think caused him to be who he was.
Based on what Carson told Bill, he was well aware, Johnny was well aware of the fleeting nature of fame, wasn't he? And not bothered by that.
No, he wasn't. I mean, Johnny was really a Midwestern realist. You know, he was not sort of a flighty, artsy guy in a lot of ways. I think that's why he and Bill probably got along, or part of the reason they did. They're both just kind of solid Midwestern guys. You put your head down, you do the work.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Johnny always knew it was fleeting. And, you know, when it was done, it was done. Like, as you know, when Johnny retired, he retired. He was out. He didn't feel any need to come back, any more need for the limelight, which I guess is not that typical, because once you have that much limelight for that many years and that much power that goes along with it, because, you know, Johnny was getting, I don't know, 17 million viewers on a regular night. He had a lot of showbiz sway and power, but he just turned it off, it seems, and was okay with the fact that, okay, it's done.
Yeah, yeah. There have been rumors over the years of a movie or a miniseries on Johnny Carson. Is that going to happen ever, do you think?
I have not heard any recent rumblings. I mean, I suppose there's always a chance. I think his life is absolutely fascinating for somebody who wants to mine it. And, you know, with this book especially, I think there's a lot of nuance that wasn't revealed before.
Yeah, and I think
Johnny. I mean, yeah, it's, I'm sorry, it's warts and all, but it's it humanizes Johnny as really only Bill can.
Yeah, if somebody's smart, they'll, you know, buy the rights to the book and do a project like that. Mike, in the Hollywood version of the Johnny Carson story, do you think the arc would be the arc of success, failure, and ultimate success would be Johnny hitting the high of getting the Tonight Show, the low of his son's death, and then ultimately the retirement that was on his terms? So you get a happy ending, although Johnny dying of emphysema, and you just think about him sneaking those smokes all those years, don't you?
Yeah, he would always lament those damn cigarettes. You know, he knew they were killing him. His parents were both heavy smokers, you know, died of lung and heart related diseases, but it was something he never could quite fully quit. I mean, he did for a while, and then he'd get back on it, and then he'd smoke again. So, I don't know that there'd be a happy ending. I wonder if there'd be kind of an open-ended ending with Johnny, sort of off in retirement, not doing anything else showbiz-related, hanging out on his yacht. I heard Joseph Gordon-Levitt was at one point in line to play Johnny Carson. I don't know if that's still the case.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. There's certainly plenty to mine from Johnny's life and career.
He died in 2005 at the age of 79. Mike, why, after being off the air for more than 30 years, he's been gone for a long time now, why is he still such a compelling subject?
Well, I think he's a compelling subject because he led an extremely interesting life, but also for the fact that so many people are still around who grew up with him, who watched him every single night on TV. He, as Bill says in the book, like, Johnny's face was the last thing flickering on their screens and on their brains before they went to sleep. And so there's this strong emotional connection with Johnny on the point of the viewers, but also we're watching Colbert and Kimmel and, you know, before them Letterman and of course Conan. And Johnny runs through all of those guys. Johnny reinvented that medium in terms of how the interviews were done, the monologue, all of that. So even the viewers who are watching these newer guys are not thinking Johnny or seeing Johnny. Johnny is there. There's vestiges of Johnny, and I think that will continue for years and years.
It's great to see the old reruns, Johnny and the Tonight Show on Antenna TV at 9 o'clock at night. The book is Carson the Magnificent, and it's a great book. Congratulations to you, Mike. We miss Bill Zamy, but we have so much of him thanks to Mike Thomas. Appreciate it, Mike.
Thanks, Bob.